Good morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host. I hope you enjoyed my morning prayer. I like to start every day with acknowledging and thanking all the elements and beings that support life here in this beautiful garden world. The beautiful flute music was performed by Charles Eagle Feather Martinez of Pagosa Springs, Colorado, and I want to thank him for blessing this show with his wonderful talent. Now, in case you're wondering about the name of my show, Shaman's Keep, I'll break it down for you. A shaman is a person who lives with one foot in this physical world and one foot in the spirit world, and is able to move back and forth between worlds to facilitate healings, guidance, and harmony. A keep is an ancient word used to denote a stronghold, usually in the heart of the castle, a safe place of refuge during a siege. So welcome to my safe place. Come in and gather with me around the fire, and you're going to hear stories of wonderful healings and mysterious happenings and all the things that will give you a glimpse into the world of a shaman. Shamanism is actually the oldest belief system in the world. Relics and artifacts relating to this belief system have been found in every culture around the globe, and some of these date back over 40,000 years. So this is a time-tested belief system, and it is as viable today as it was in ancient times. Now, basically, shamanism acknowledges that everything in creation is alive and has a spirit. So indigenous peoples refer to them as the tree people, the animal people, the stone people, all our brothers and sisters, or as the Lakota Sioux would say, Mitakio Yasin, which means all my relations. And they understood that we are all connected. This was proven when scientists discovered DNA and found that everything in creation is made out of the same DNA building blocks of life. Yes, we're all made out of the same stuff. They still haven't figured out why some DNA forms a tree and some forms a dog and some forms a human. But they do acknowledge that everything is alive and made from the same DNA. Indigenous peoples have known this truth since the beginning of time. Now, because shamanism is about a belief system believing that everything is alive and everything alive is our family, our brothers and sisters, we become very aware of the need to honor and respect all our relations. And this is something that has seemed to be lost in our culture today, where trees and plants and animals even are treated as inanimate objects, things that we can just cut down or kill and use for our own needs without any thought of how it affects the ecology of the world or of the other life forms that we're taking. So this is something we're going to be talking about today. I have a wonderful guest. I'm sure you've heard of Brooke Medicine Eagle. She is an earth keeper, a wisdom teacher, healer, visionary, singer-songwriter, and ceremonial leader. She's the author of the best-selling book, Buffalo Woman Comes Singing, and The Last Ghost Dance. And she was given the Magical Blend Millennium Award back in 2000, along with just 30 other people that received this, the Dalai Lama, Mikhail Gorbachev, Jean Houston, Oprah Winfrey, and Deepak Chopra, to name a few. Now, Brooke focuses all of her love and joy into the healing power of music, and she's also a sacred ecologist with a focus on living in harmony and in a sustainable way upon Mother Earth. I first met Brooke about 20 years ago at one of Sunbear's big medicine wheel gatherings in Southern California, and it was such a wonderful thing to hear her sing that evening. The first night we were there, there was a big gathering, and it was twilight, and there was a stillness in the air. You know that feeling at twilight, that in-between time. And when she got up to sing, and she thanked all of us for being there, and she said, it was so wonderful to gather on this sweet evening and share all the beauties of life. And she began to sing with no accompaniment but her heartbeat drum. And as her voice floated out over the crowd, it was just so sweet and so beautiful that it's like an indelible memory in my mind. And I want to thank you for that, Brooke. Brooke, I would like to welcome you to the Shaman's Keep. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing wonderfully. What a nice remembrance. It's wonderful to think back of those good times and all the gatherings that we've done together, all of us.
Yes.
Down through time now. You know, many of us have learned to gather together and to do ceremony and to you know, walk in a way that's an ancient way that really empowers us and empowers what we're doing. And so we've gathered and done ceremony, and I know we'll do more and more of that. And it's wonderful to be here. And I'd like to start today, if I may, with an altar song. And it's a song that came to friends of mine 10,000 years ago. It came from people 10,000 years old. And when they found it, they understood that it was they were hearing it out of these ancient grave sites to call it into the world and use it now in the world that we live in now, where these things are so needed. So this is an altar song, and I'm going to sing it for the altar of our Mother Earth, where we, for me, it's the holy altar.
Okay.
Yo eh hi ay 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 ay, yo eh hi ay 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 do, yo eh hi ay 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 ay, yo eh hi ay 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 do, yo eh hi ay 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 ay, yo eh hi ay 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 ay, yo eh hi ay 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 do. Yo eh hi ay 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 ay, yo eh hi ay 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 do, yo eh hi ay 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 ay, yo eh hi ay 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 do, yo eh hi ay 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 ay, yo eh hi ay 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 ay, yo eh hi ay 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 do.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
All right.
Is there a translation of the words, or what you're actually saying, or giving thanks, or?
You know, it's very interesting. With all of these songs, I like to just see if I can soften into and be with the energetic healing of them, because it may have been a language of an ancient people. It may be a language that someone knows today. But often, parts, at least, of Native American songs and chants were what I would call feeling tones. They weren't like, oh, this is that, and this is, they're not things. whether or not this is a thing, this is a flower, this is a box, this is a car. It was a feeling, yes. Kind of a flowing feeling tone that helped you get the idea. And for me, when I sing that, I feel worshipful. I feel grateful and in a space where spirit dwells as well, right here on this sweet Mother Earth. And so it's it brings me to a certain kind of space that is an honoring, you know, as one does an altar.
Yes, that's what it felt like to me. It felt like a thanksgiving prayer, a prayer of thanks. And the sounds were very healing sounds. It resonated all through my body as you sang. So thank you. I hope our listeners enjoyed that as much as I did.
Well, can I comment on a couple things just to jump right into this? You did such a wonderful job of speaking about shamanism. It's so clearly right on and connect. It's so harmonious. It's so right with what we're doing now, wanting to reawaken ourselves to the earth and become a part of the circle of life in a good and harmonious way, and to touch back in with all our relations and to recognize their aliveness in all of this. That's what we're being asked to do. And so shamanism, being that kind of a, I don't even think it's a belief system, I would call it an experience system. Because what I understand about the shamans of old is they were highly developed seers, and they saw the world at a different level, just like many of the great spiritual leaders and high teachers. They've seen at a different level, and so they could teach and share from that higher level. So anyway, that connection, you know, that high wisdom of connection with the earth and all that's about is what we're, you know, we're stepping back into that. We're adding that in a way that we haven't for a while. We've created so many good things, you know, so much magic, and yet we need now to really ground ourselves back in the sweet Mother Earth again. And so
exactly, and I think that's what, you know, the big astrological aspect that happened last week that formed the grand sextile, which made like a Star of David in the skies between all the planets, and everything was in harmony, but it opened a portal, and it was the water signs and the earth signs. Now, the last time this happened, this particular aspect, was in 1973, and I believe that it was fire signs then, the spirit, and air signs, which is the mind. And so when it opened last time, it brought in this wave of spiritual awakening that has just, you know, been sweeping the planet for the last, 30, 40 years now. And now this new portal that opened is bringing in the grounding back to Earth, the physical, and the heart, which is water is the emotions and the heart. And I think it's going to help us to bring back all the spiritual wisdom that we've gained and bring it down to Earth and open our hearts and begin to remember that we are all connected and we are all one. And what affects one of us affects all of us. So we have to begin to view our lives and the way we live them in a different way, in a more all-inclusive way that takes into account, how will this affect the trees, or how will this affect the animals? How will this affect the next generation? And that's kind of what you do as an earth keeper, right?
Yes, it is. You know, White Buffalo Woman's law, if you will, is just exactly what you said a moment ago. She said, we must realize that we are one with everything. Not we are one of, we are one with, we are one. We are one wholeness. We are one whole being. And that holiness is Buffalo Woman's way. It's her law. And our understanding of that and how well it works, you know, that it actually works well. I think that's what people have forgotten. And that it really works extremely well to live that way. Excuse me. And I wanted to comment as well on, you had talked about that the shaman is connected between, you know, this world and the spirit world. And one way that my people talk about it is that they, yes, that is one of the functions. In a sense, there are two functions a shaman has. One is the connection between this realm or humans and the spirit realm, which is a subtler realm in a sense. And mm-hmm. then they have another job as well, which I think is very interesting. They are also the intermediaries between humans and the, you know, animal, bird, other beings on earth kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, the shamans paid attention to, not only the hunters, but the shamans paid attention to whether they were taking too much game. They realized that they had to, you know, to balance their lives and balance what they took from nature. And so they were always intermediaries in that dance as well. So the shaman stood at a really central place in those societies.
Oh, yeah.
And I was saying it was an experience. And, you know, those old guys and women, these beautiful women, saw so deeply that they could couch their movement in the world in experience of what they understood. And it wasn't even so much a belief system, which I sometimes think is of the mind. It's the experience mm-hmm. that's of, the, like you said, the water and earth, the grounded in the earth and the grounded in the heart kind of energy,
yes.
to me, is where shamanism comes from in its highest and finest ways. So what a wonderful thing to be doing today.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, because it really is. It's more... it's like we think with our minds, but we know with our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean? I mean, people can have an idea about something, but until they have felt it in their heart, it's just theory. They haven't really experienced it. And so this knowing in the heart is what we have to bring people back to, that knowing in the heart that they are brothers and sisters with every life form on the planet, that we're all part of just one great tapestry of life, and that we have to take that into account with honor and respect for all living things.
You know, I had an interesting experience talking about that exact thing. Just recently, I had a young couple come here. They were from L.A., and they had such good intention, I know, but when they came, I gave them very specific instructions, because I had to be gone. I mean, detailed instructions, and asked them to keep things alive because it was hot, and they ignored many things and let them die right in front of them.
Oh, no.
And I was stunned by that, and we had this interesting discussion, because I said to them, you know, you're Christian young people, and you believe in high and wonderful things, and you follow the light of the Dawn Star. And I said, the thing that you need to understand is all the great teachings, including the Dawn Star, the Christ light, Jesus' teachings, were about love. And love is about mm-hmm. loving everything. Love is about opening your heart to the whole of life. And I
yes.
said, I don't know what you've been studying in school, if it's just an intellectual idea, but to let things die, to me, isn't a part of a good any good spiritual person's life. So I said, I think
mm-hmm.
you need to wake up to another level of the teaching here and ground yourself
yes.
and pay attention and take care of things in the way of love that was taught by our great teachers. So,
yes, because,
you know, it's that difference between the mind and the heart.
Yes, it's a matter of taking responsibility. You know, a lot of people seem to think that, oh, it's all, you know, it's all being taken care of by God, and we, you know, it's, and everything is just functioning on autopilot here, sort of, and we don't have to step up and do anything. But the truth is, we are supposed to be stewards of the earth, and we're supposed to be here helping take care of this beautiful earth garden and all the wonderful resources that make life possible here. I mean, it's just horrifying to me that we have polluted every water system in the United States, and from what I hear around the world, that people were so careless that they didn't consider that this is something we can't live without. We, you know, we can't live more than about 4 days tops without water,
mm-hmm.
and something so vital to our livelihood, you would think they would want to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And yet water has been treated like a sewage system. Oh, let's just flush it down the toilet. Let's just
yeah.
pour it out in the river. Let the river take it away. And And look at what's resulted. I mean, it's just, I can't believe that humans could be so stupid, you know, take care of the very thing that keeps them alive.
Right. And I think that we're being forced, in a sense, to work with shamanic ways because we have really goofed up on the physical level, and it's not that we need to do everything we can on the physical level to change things. And as well, I feel like we can work at a shamanic level. You were talking about saying your prayers and your thank yous and really doing that every day. And I think mm-hmm. of the work, when you were speaking of water, I thought of the work of the wonderful old Japanese man, Emoto, who has taught us that our prayers, our words, our vibration, our sound that we put into things, and that if it, that sound can emanate from our heart and come up through our throat and out, we're speaking love to things and we're speaking love into the world, and that that does transform things. So along with our work in the physical world, I think it's really wonderful to think. For me, that's a shamanic way. He doesn't call it that. He's a scientist, mm-hmm. but now science and shamanism are coming together.
And oh, that's what I love about his book, Messages of the Water.
Yeah,
the pictures are
the
just
beauty.
So beautiful.
So fabulous.
Of these molecules of water where they said something simple like a word like love, and the molecules were just radiating light and beautiful. And they used the word hate, and it came out all dark and deformed. And, I mean, he's proven with science how we really are all one, and water responds to our words and our emotions and our thoughts. You know, and when you consider that 75% of our body is water, imagine if we're using words about ourselves, if we're, you know, criticizing ourselves or thinking, you know, bad thoughts somehow. The water in our body is taking on those thoughts and those emotions. It's no wonder so many people are ill because, you know, they have literally cursed themselves with their own words.
Yes, and that was the old understanding, and it has come forward so wonderfully now about what we vibrate is what we create. That's sort of my byword, is what each and everything vibrates, it creates. And whatever frequency, whatever energetic, if it's harsh and rough and mean and all of that, or if it's just this absolute, well, like the song I sang this morning, that kind of wonderful mm-hmm. energy, it makes a difference. So I think that I would like to invite all our listeners here, I'd like to invite you to really pay attention to that. Like when you're driving to work, you know, make this practical for yourself. When you're driving to work, instead of going, oh, God, yeah, he cut me off, and I don't know when I'll ever get there, and blah, 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 or any kind of thoughts you might have like that. Instead, bless everyone and start blessing everything. Bless what's around
mm-hmm.
you. Just ask Spirit to bless everything. Send love. Just find that loving place in your heart. I mean, you have to find it by maybe thinking of someone you're crazy about or that you really love or that your children or, you know, where that love is. And find that and then just extend that out from yourself. And it's the interesting thing that you were talking about, Caroline. When you do that, whatever vibration you have or whatever prayer you have or however you would say that, whatever you say, it affects you first. It hums and vibrates you through your whole body and brain. So you're getting the effect of it more intensely than anything. And then it does go out and it affects the world around you. So it's,
mm-hmm.
it's definitely not a win-win. It's a lose-lose. And we're understanding that now and really learning to walk forward in a different, a more harmonious way.
Yes, that's become part of the waking up process when we suddenly realize, oh, my goodness, what am I doing with my words and my thoughts? And having to take responsibility to you know, discipline ourselves and mind our thoughts and our words. And we're works in process or progress. That's all I can say. We keep working on ourselves, and the world will get better.
Well, you know what?
I wanted to talk with you about sustainability today because it's so on all our minds, I think, of how we can restore Mother Earth and, you know, undo some of the damages that have been done and hopefully have a better future, a better legacy to leave our children. So talk to us a little bit about sustainability and how you see steps that people can take to live in a more sustainable way upon Mother Earth.
Well, for sure, the first one I spoke of there, doing our magic, you know, singing a beautiful song. One of the fun things I do is I change songs around. You know how like a song will have a really kind of a, oh, sad, boo-hoo, he left kind of line? Change that to something great and happy and change it around just a little bit, a tune that you know really well. And then just sing that going down the road. Mm-hmm. Sing this incredibly happy song. Could be happy birthday with some new words to it. But, you know, that happy vibration and singing is so powerful, and how you speak and how you pray, always praying just for the positive, most powerful thing rather than whining. So that's certainly one. And the other is, I think, that is to start paying attention, really starting to pay attention to the aliveness of things around you. I hope that you all have a plant or that you can go somewhere and touch the earth or touch the grass. You know, I mean, even like you go to the park and it's such a relief from the hot sidewalks and stuff, to really get it that that's life, that's Mother Earth. That's what we had until we, you know, like Joni Mitchell said, you know, go to heaven and make a parking lot. You know, that it's incredibly beautiful and profound, and to start just relating to, you don't have to be gooey and gummy or anything. You just get it that, wow, this is amazing. Grass is what forms the foundation of almost everything on our planet and holds the earth together. And it's so wonderful to be on and play on. I've loved it all my life. And just give love and good energy to it. And the trees that shade you, I mean, you know, it's just so natural to be grateful for that kind of thing. And, you know, another way I think
a lot of people have just forgotten. You know, they get so busy with their lives and working and racing around and the traffic and the noise and the commercials blasting away on television and radio, and their minds get confused, and I think they've kind of lost track of, hey, this is real. This is a beautiful world I live in. And I know Native Americans felt that Mother Earth actually healed their wounds, that if they were hurt, they could lay down on Mother Earth and press the wounded part to Mother Earth, and she would heal them. And I don't know if you've heard of earthing, but there's a book that was written about it. This man found that he was having problems with his the energy level in his body, and it's like his electrical system in his body just was, you know, not working right. And then he discovered this amazing thing that if he went and stood barefoot on the earth, that this kind of energy flowed into his body, and he felt better. And he wrote a book about it saying that, you know, we have become so disconnected from the earth. We sleep on beds up off the floor and in houses that are, you know, with layers of concrete and so forth separating us from earth. And just we rarely actually connect with earth anymore. If you live in cities, of course, if you live in a rural area, you can go out and run in the pasture and, you know, and really soak up the energy from Mother Earth. But I don't think people understand that Mother Earth does have this energy, and that we can ask her to allow that energy of hers to flow into us, and we can feel it surging up through our feet and into our bodies. And it is a restoring, harmonizing, healing energy.
It certainly is, you know, and we can give that same energy back again then to the earth and all the wounds and damage we have done to her. And I like to think of my friend Pam Montgomery is a wonderful herbalist and healer teacher, and she talks about partner earth. And it's interesting that I like that in some ways, because we can grow up now and not just expect Mother Earth to take care of us, like you were saying. Just we can't just hang out. We're meant to partner. I talk about this new age as a participatory game. You know, it's like we need to take part, just exactly like you said. So thinking of partnering with the earth and working and using our energies and our hands and our love and our intelligence And what we're realizing now that we need to do, now that we've got very intellectual and very heady and very forebrained, you know, we've developed this little slice of kind of thinking brain that can imagine and all that virtual world. And now we're being asked to balance back and to touch back into the magic of the earth herself. And once we get that balance, my gosh, we will have truly made the evolution because we will have integrated this new piece we've been working on into the whole. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating about, like, the old brain, you know, the old reptilian brain that sits right at the base of your head, you know, that connects to your spine,
yes.
that brain, you need to think of it as carrying all of the things that have been learned up until pretty much mammalian time. Through all of ancient archaeological time, from the very beginning, we have stored that understanding there. And so to value that deep brain, to value that old brain, to value it for teaching us to connect back to the earth and how magical it is, and how when we're in flow with the earth herself and all our relations, our life becomes easy and harmonious. I've been working here at Flower Song. You know, I've taken time off the road after 35 long years on the road. It was like, oh, my gosh, here I am teaching about earthing and loving the earth, and I'm on the road all the time. And it was so wonderful to come home here to Flower Song and to put myself on the ground in such a beautiful place and just, you know, ground myself again. My mom was an incredible gardener, but gosh, I'm like a lot of us. I went away and I went to college, and then I got a job, and I got a job in the city, and then I've been in smaller and smaller places and, you know, come back to the land in a sense. But there were a lot of years when I certainly wasn't, when I was on the road all the time, I wasn't gardening. So to really bring myself back to doing that and, you know, really settling in. One of the things I want to make a quick suggestion to people here, I would suggest deeply that you get a book about urban permaculture. Bill Mollison's work, Permaculture. And it's really about, you know, growing a few little things yourself. And it's just such a teaching about what you can do in your apartment, what you can do wherever you are to start that process again of those kind of, it's like a victory garden. It's like that's what took England through the war, was having actual food. Everyone had their little garden. And that's the way it was when I was a kid. And I live in a place now, a beautiful little village in north central Washington, where all these women have gardens. It's just the way it is.
Well, yeah, I grew up on a farm in in Florida, deep south Florida, the north central part of Florida. And we raised cows and hogs and chickens, and farmed about 40 acres and corn and peas. And then we always had a big vegetable garden. And I remember Mama just telling me she'd be fixing dinner, and she'd say, run out to the garden and get me a couple of tomatoes. And, and I'd run out and do that. And, you know, everything was right there. The only thing we really had to buy was staples like flour and sugar and salt and pepper and stuff like that. But we raised everything else. But I have to tell you, as a child, it was a lot of work, and I didn't want to do that the rest of my life, and I escaped. And like you, I went to the city, and I got, you know, got involved in doing films and writing and doing a lot of things that, you know, kind of required being in a city environment. But as I've gotten older, I really miss the taste of fresh homemade butter. I miss being able to run out and pick a pear off a tree. And, and we always, summers, we canned everything. So we had, you know, a room that was just all cans of black-eyed peas and tomatoes and, you know, all the vegetables and things that we had grown. And, it was wonderful to have all of that wonderful fresh food that we knew was safe. I mean, today we have more and more people wanting to grow their own food because they're afraid to eat what's in the supermarkets between the GMOs and the imported vegetables like lettuce that has sickened so many people in 14 states around the country now. You know, there's so much that makes us a little cautious about buying food in the market anymore. And so a lot of people I know are beginning to grow gardens, and even on their balconies and patios, they're growing some edible foods. And I think it's a good thing. It's coming back to remember that this is who we are. We're part of this earth and part of these plants. The plants give us so much. The earth gives us so much. And we're here to be stewards of it in return for all the many gifts it gives us.
Well, I can certainly identify with what you're saying at all these levels. And one sweet one is that I had a late lunch. We really worked hard this morning, and I had a late lunch, and I was realizing what we were eating. We were eating this wonderful, breaded and fried some big squash that we had, and all these different things. Beautiful. We're just getting cherry tomatoes now and all of that kind of thing. We had broccoli, a broccoli slaw, and it was just the best meal. And the prayer that I often make as I sit here in this beautiful flower song place is, may everyone eat at least as well as we're eating today, because it's so pure and so good and so clean. And, the water here is so beautiful. The water comes right down out of Canada. Those beautiful, all that British Columbian forest. So the water comes down here from that, and the air comes from the mountains and British Columbian forests. And so I'm just so grateful for all of this, and I really wish this kind of clarity and beauty for everyone.
Yes. Well, you have fruit trees and nut trees and things like that there too, don't you?
I do. I want to mention to people that I'm actually needing to leave my place, and I've been called to do some other work, so I need to find a wonderful steward for this place, and I can talk more about that later. But the yes, I have like 80 fruit trees of 7 different varieties. I mean, it's just amazing. Wow. It's so much fun. The cherries come pretty well. The apricots always start first, and then eventually the cherries come in, and then I have lots of kinds of apples and lots of varieties of the big beautiful cherries, and pears, peaches, nectarines, 10 kinds of plums. And it's just a little 1.2-acre place, just this incredible, amazing bounty in this place. It's just so stunning. And the thing that I love, and then I put gardens in, which I love too. And the wonderful thing here is that the water is so wonderful. I mean, I pay $25 a month for my village water. That's kind of my, my drinking water out of the village well. But then I get water out of the little Sinlahican River. I hardly remember paying anything for it, maybe $100 a year, and I have this enormous pond that waters, just absolute enormous water, practically free all the time to water this beautiful place and keep it. So it's like a little oasis in the desert.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I'm so sorry to hear that you're leaving there, that you're selling the flower song.
I've been guided to do that, and I'm trying not, let's say, to be sad about it, and I'm hoping to have a really wonderful friend, make a friend of whoever comes and lives here, so that it can still be a part of my life at that level. But the challenge for me is that I'm on my own right now, and it needs a family. It needs some folks to be here, and a guy that loves to do the gardening and the orchard and that kind of thing, and wants to learn that. And
it's a lot of work taking care of all that. I'm sure
it'd be so beautiful for a family, but it's just gotten to be a lot. And I've been on. Actually, I've gone through speaking of shamanic work, I've gone through what my teachers call a shamanic dismemberment, that everything in my life, my past life, has been torn down to the bone, and then the bones have been scattered. So I'm now pulling this time here at Flower Song has been to remember myself. I think, like we were saying, remember what it's like to get your hands on the ground and really have a big garden and bring forth fruit and make things flower and flowing water and little waterfalls and dipping pool and all of these things to make this beauty, to actually ground myself, to remember myself as this person who is so deeply grounded and connected and earthy and, in my body. So anyway, what's happening, I believe, in a really wonderful way is that after 9 years of that process, I believe that before too long, maybe at the end of this year into next year, I'll be back out in the world in a different way. And I absolutely love that I've held this place of stunning beauty here, and I know that the right person is going to come here, the right family, the right people, and it's going to blow their mm-hmm. mind because everything is here. It's like everything you need, including if you're a hunter, you can go into the mountains and hunt, and if you're a fisherman, there are stunningly beautiful lakes here. There are walnuts that mm-hmm. grow here right outside my walls here, and I mean, it's literally, my guide said the other day, do you know how well provisioned you are there? And I mm-hmm. know that, and I am so grateful for that, and it kind of stuns me to think of moving away from this. But I mm-hmm. and I ask Spirit to have these people that come next who will just get this amazing place, just walk in and have it radiant, you know.
Yes, have everything there. Yeah, because and I know a lot of people that want to go back to the land, but they're looking at buying vacant land, and then they've got to plant their trees and all. And I don't think they realize it takes years for fruit trees and nut trees to actually begin to bear fruit.
Exactly.
And you have everything there. It's already up and running and
I know there are two kinds of grapevines right here, right now. There are five different kinds of grapes here. I mean, it's just unending, it seems, like raspberries and blackberries and strawberries and mulberries. And it's just unending, it seems like, the bounty that's here. So anyway, mm-hmm. this is a deep part of my heart, and one of my practices has been knowing that Spirit would probably move me onward to just love this place with every ounce of my body and every bit of my heart as every moment I'm here. And then the harder part for me as a double Taurus is to absolutely be able to take a breath and let it go exactly with joy and peace in my heart and walk forward. And I really am asking that I can stay connected here. You know, I'm not going to sell this like, you know, you can't talk to the other person. I'm going to be here teaching you how to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope we're family by the time I leave
here. Maybe you'll find someone that will partner with you there, and you can still, you know, have a base of operations to come back to and still be a part of Flower Song.
You know, I hope
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
And, you know, the thing is that makes me think about something, because I feel like if we could all be like that, if we could all mm-hmm. say, mi casa es su casa, my home is your home. You know, if you need a retreat from the city, I've got this beautiful place in the country, come and mm-hmm. be welcome. If I need to go in the city, maybe you'll put me up while I do my shopping in Seattle or whatever, you know, kind of thing. But that we can open our hearts and our places and share and have them. It all belongs to all of us. And if we all begin to steward it well and share and everything, we will have such an abundant life. Oh, my gosh. I really have the least money I've had in a good long time in my life right now. And I said to the gals today, I tell you, I don't know what the rich people are doing, but I feel incredibly rich. This beautiful fruit and the waterfalls flowing
around us. Yes, you are so blessed.
You know, I'm just wealthy. I'm rich. I'm amazingly rich that way. And I think that as more and more people are awakening, they're realizing that that's what's really rich. That's what's really mm-hmm. prospering, is to know your base. It's like the Hopis talked about, you know, to know your baseline. Where does your water come from? Who's owning it? Mm-hmm. Are you selling it to some corporation? And where's your food? You know, grow a little bit.
Yes.
Start to get the feeling of that connection. Support your farmers. You know, mm-hmm. another thing I really want to say, just as clear as I can to you folks listening, is look at your CSAs, your community-supported agriculture. There's some farmers around there that are going to want to bring things into town, into little towns, into farmers markets, into big cities, and bring you that food if you'll partner with them and support their lives. And I tell you,
yes.
think about supporting farmers and ranchers. It's hard work. Carolyn and I both know that. It's hard work, and it depends on the weather, and crops can be damaged by weather in just a second,
mm-hmm.
and your livelihood and all of that. But it's the most wonderful thing you can do for the earth is to offer food, offer beauty, offer clear water. So to really be willing to support these good people that are doing this, because I tell you, I don't blame them. I see kids leaving. I mean, here in this beautiful valley, the restrictions and everything and all the pesticides and stuff, people hate that so much, and their kids don't like it, and they've worked so hard, and their kids are going into the city. The food basket of the Northwest will die here if people don't start being more more supportive.
Going on for a long time with the young people leaving the farms and going to the city because they want the excitement and the, you know, all the things that has been sold to them on television, that this is the in crowd. If you do this, if you have that, if you drive this kind of car, you know, all these things that have been programmed into our young people about what makes, what will make them important and successful and everything in the world. And but I think that's turning around. I think people are beginning to come to grips with how important it is to have fresh drinking water that's safe and fresh foods, vegetables and foods that are safe, that haven't been pumped full of hormones and antibiotics and that haven't been altered somehow genetically with some chemical that could never have mated with that plant, you know. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a very unnatural thing. So I think people are beginning to wake up and want to go back to the land. And this is, you know, whether, even if you can't leave the city, you can go back to the land on your balcony or your patio or your backyard. You can still grow things and you can still reconnect. And this,
you know,
is what I want to urge people today to look around you and see where you can reconnect with the earth and where you can honor the earth and remember being part of the earth.
That's so wonderful, and I wanted to really urge people, too, to, you know, if you even grow a couple little pots of tomatoes, and I tell you, some of the gardening places make it so easy. It's just so easy and wonderful. You can hang them up, even. But mm-hmm. something where children get to see life in that way, and they actually begin to take care of it themselves so that they see life and what really makes life and what makes things, makes food, and all the things that are surprisingly getting lost from children's minds. And I want to also urge you to have your children help neighbors and help in gardens. And, you know, I tell you, in my life, being an older person, you know, in the old days, the kids in the neighborhood used to come over and you'd pay them a little bit of money and they were so excited about mowing and they would help in the gardens or they would do whatever. And now there's no young people, so the older people are carrying all the weight. And so I think it's so important. And a young person that went and helped somebody in a garden, I mean, they might whine and cry a little bit about it, but I tell you, they would learn a lesson that will serve them the rest of their life, and they would learn how to work, how to actually do physical, you know, touch physical things in a loving way and care about them and care for them. I mean, I just urge parents so much to get your children in contact with that kind of life, because they're being lost in a virtual world of TV. I mean, you never see kids outside in the nature. So it's a really important piece.
And nowadays, if you do see them out, their head is down because they're looking at their phone in their palm and they're texting someone and they don't know what's going on in the world around them. They're completely disconnected from the world. And,
yeah, we have this new generation of amazing, amazing, amazing new children that are leading us forward, and yet we need to ground them in the world, or they they could have a very, you know, it wouldn't be a virtual crash either. They could have a crash of their lives because they're not connected. That would be devastating to them. It's so important that we give this to children, to give them the gift of connection with the earth.
Yes. And the remembrance that, you know, everything depends on everything else. We're not separate somehow, that we can live without the plants and without the animals and everything. We can't. Our lives here depend on the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom to support us. And the waters. We cannot live without the water. So, you know, we are the ones that are dependent, and we have to remember that we're dependent on Mother Earth and all these blessings that she's given us for our ability to stay alive, to be breathing and living. And this is something we just have to bring people back to this awareness.
Well, it's I named my place here Flower Song. And I'll carry that name with me because it's the ancient name for the Dawn Star, the Christ Lights, teaching in the Americas about flowering, the flowering of life, not only the flowering of human life, But the flowering of all life, flowers and plants and animals and water and, you know, the teaching of beauty, walking a beauty way, and that the flowering of life is so vitally important, and that means all life, all our relations. So that's what the dedication here at this beautiful place has been, is to sing flower song, you might say.
Well, it's a wonderful name for a beautiful place. And people can contact you. Would you give us your website address and how people can contact you?
I sure will. It's www.medicineeagle, two E's in there, notice, medicineeagle.com. And I apologize that we're just in the process of renewing that. So please hang in with me and go back. There's some things there now, and they're just going to be getting up. My website guy got ill, so I'm having to change over to someone else. They're just about to get my flower song announcement of looking for a new steward for this beautiful place up. And on so on Facebook, you can look me up under Brooke Medicine Eagle, and there are a couple albums there of wonderful pictures of all the things that I'm doing and the Aboriginal skills, and certainly of flower song itself. And so www.medicineeagle.com, and I can just be reached at BME, my initials, at medicineeagle.com. And,
okay, and your books and your music is available on what, Amazon, and
yes,
how would
it's
they
available
find
on Amazon
some of your
and all those places creation. And CD Baby. And as well, that's part of what I'm working on, is to get it up so that people can download it from my site as well. And what's happening, and what it'll be more exciting in the days to come, because I really feel like I'm stepping back out now into teaching, and I hope to have a lot of teachings up on the Internet so that even if we can't get together physically, I can share some of this blossoming wisdom with all people.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes. Because that's the wonderful thing about the Internet. Computers are maddening sometimes, but, you know, they have brought us such a gift to be able to be everywhere in the world at once and have all the information you could want at the tips of our fingers. So it would be great to have your teachings online where people could access it that way.
Right, and I'm thinking possibly of I like to spend the winter in Sedona, and it's so wonderful down there, so I'll probably be doing retreats and things down there this winter, you know, just simple getting together with people and taking them into the wilderness there and taking them on hikes and stuff. And then it looks like there's a possibility of doing retreats at a beautiful place in Montana that I consider very much my home, and it has been my home for many, many, many years. So good things are ahead, I think, and all of that will be up there, so I'll be able to invite you to come and play with me and learn with me, as well as just putting teachings out that, you know, everyone can access, because they're so inexpensive and easy to reach.
Oh, yes, that would be wonderful, because there is something about being there in person and hearing the resonance of the drum, feeling the vibrations in your body and hearing your voice and everything in person. I look forward to you doing all those things. And,
you know, Carolyn, if I can also mention that I do
be able to see you in Sedona.
Yeah, I do private sessions over the phone as well, so I can always arrange those through the email, and at least we get to talk to each other. Thanks so much for what you're doing.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today, Brooke. You're always so inspiring, and I love having you on the show. And I hope we've inspired our listeners today. I want to thank all of you for listening. And you all know how to reach her if you need to. And stay tuned. I will be on again in I'm going on a every 2 week basis. I will be doing the show every 2 weeks. So, and I'll have a guest for you every time, and we'll talk about wonderful things. So thank you for joining us today. May the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.